Well, greetings, friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another message of salvation for those who realize their need of a Savior. I trust that all of you listening to my voice today will just take a break from whatever you've been doing and listen to the Word of God. You know, it seems as though people these days are too busy to listen to the Word of God. Yes, they've got time for business, time for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. We'll open up the broadcast today with a lovely tune. In fact, it's my favorite, and it's entitled, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Well, friends, I thank God that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life back on June the 2nd of 1952. And I thank God for the grace, the love and the mercy of God that was expressed in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, on this Voice of the Gospel program, I seek to bring before the unsaved listener the significance of listening to God's Word. After all, if I don't substantiate what I say with chapter and verse, then I couldn't blame anyone for not heeding what I say. But friend, when I tell you that God says something, then you'd better listen, because he is the one with whom we have to do. Not only that, but God promises to bless his word. Not my words, not your words, but his word. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, we're told that God's word shall not return unto him void. Over in Romans 3 and 4, we're told, let God be true and every man a liar. So that's it, friend. You as an individual creature of God, if you're ever going to be in God's heaven, must give heed to the word of God. Now, in this regard, I want to tell you that if you don't give heed to God's word, then the alternative is the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself declares over in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And with that solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence today with gratitude and thanksgiving in our hearts. We're so grateful, our God, for having extended the day of grace so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity of telling forth the wonders of thy grace expressed in Jesus Christ. We pray thy blessing upon thy word and trust, our God, that thy Holy Spirit might accompany thy word to the salvation of precious souls. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as a text for today a well-known portion of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we'll begin reading for connection at verse 21. Romans 3 and verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me repeat that last portion. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Now, friends, one of the most difficult truths for mankind to grasp and understand is the fact that in the sight of a holy God, there is no difference. No difference. You know, we as individuals are so apt to believe that we are just a little better than our neighbors. It seems so easy for us to find fault in them. But if we do find that they are a little better than ourselves, we immediately go to work and try to bring them down to our own level. My friend, if you want to find out what you are in the sight of a holy God today, all you have to do is to read Romans chapter 3. Yes, for there the whole story is told. The whole picture of the sinfulness of man is painted in no uncertain colors. This portion of Scripture is proof in itself that the Bible is divinely inspired, because man could not possibly record such an indictment against himself. God tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. And again He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So friends, according to the Word of God, not Minor Hawk the speaker, but according to the God of heaven, in whose hand your very breath is, there is no difference. No difference. Now perhaps you're saying, I wonder if that preacher really believes that there is no difference. Friend, listen, you may say, well, I go to church, I give to the poor, I sing in the choir, I teach Sunday school, and I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I believe in the golden rule. I've been baptized, confirmed, and dedicated. I pray to God every day. I read my Bible. And some may even be able to say that they've been wearing the clerical garb for 10, 20, 30, 40, or even 50 years. Do you mean to tell me that there's no difference? Well, friend, you misunderstood me. I didn't say that there was no difference. God said it. God in heaven tells us that there is no difference. For all, A-L-L, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So friend, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm only here today to tell you what God has to say. I'm not here to express my own personal opinions. When God says that there's no difference, even though you may disagree with Him, friend, you can still be sure that there is no difference. Sure, I'll admit that I would prefer the company of a teetotaler in contrast to that of a drunkard. I would prefer the company of an honest man in contrast to that of a thief. And I would prefer the company of a religious man in contrast to that of an infidel. But, and this is very important, regardless of who you are, if you've never been born again through faith in the blood of Christ, then there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, as far as God's salvation is concerned, there is no difference. The teetotaler must be saved the same as the drunkard, the honest man the same as the thief, and the religious person the same as the infidel. And all this because there is no difference. Now, friend, the reason that God says that there is no difference is simply because man, from Adam on down to the present time, has proven himself a sinner by nature, choice, and practice. And since our Adamic nature is corrupt, how can we do anything to please a holy, righteous, and sin-hating God? How can we bring forth good fruit from a tree that is evil? The answer is we can't. God tells us over in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, for we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, and that means good works and religious rituals, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And friend, the only way you can bring forth good fruit in the sight of God is to be grafted into the one and only true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a simple analogy to show you what God means when He says that there is no difference, let's assume I've got two peach trees in my backyard, both of which have been blighted by some crop disease. One tree bears 500 peaches, all rotten, while the other only bears two peaches, both rotten. Now, as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference. True, one tree bears more fruit than the other, but it's all bad, so there is no difference. And so it is with you, my friend. Though you may not be as great a sinner as your friends, your neighbors, or associates, nevertheless, in the sight of a holy God, there is no difference. Friend, the law of God demands complete and perfect fulfillment. And if you fail in any respect, then you are lost, and you're on your way to the pit. The Bible says that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. If we look into yonder prison, we would find murderers, thieves, counterfeiters, and gamblers. Yes, you may classify them if you wish, but the fact remains there's no difference. They are all criminals. They've all broken the law and therefore must pay the penalty. And so it is, my friend, with those who break God's law. They must pay the penalty, and the penalty for breaking God's law is spiritual death. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, we read that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And in Romans 6 and 23, God says the wages of sin is death. And my friend, the wages of sin have never been reduced. Now, friend, I don't doubt but that many of you listening in today have no affection or love for the third chapter of Romans. First of all, you don't like Romans chapter 3 because it's too personal. Secondly, you don't like it because the language is too strong. And thirdly, if you don't like the Romans chapter 3, it's because the truth always hurts. Now again, let me remind you that I'm not trying to antagonize you, my friend. That's not my purpose at all. I'm not here to cast disparaging remarks at you or even your religion. I'm here simply to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm here to show you with the help of the Holy Spirit and Word of God that you're a sinner that needs to be saved, that there's a hell awaiting every Christ rejecter, and that eternal life can only be had through simple faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Now, in the Old Testament, God has given His law to measure ourselves by. And I believe that hundreds of thousands of people in America today are greatly confused as to the real reason for God giving His law. They try to save themselves by trying to keep the law. But friend, that wasn't the purpose of God's law. Why, the law has never saved a single soul, and what's more, it never shall. You ask then, what was the purpose of the Ten Commandments and the other laws of God? Well, I believe the Apostle Paul gives us the answer in Romans 3 and 19. Here's what we read. That every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world become guilty before God. And in this same third chapter of Romans, the world has been put on trial, and the verdict which God brings forth is simply this. There's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, my friend, the law of God stops everyone's mouth, mine as well as yours. And it's only when man shuts his mouth and opens his ears that he's able to hear what God has to say to him as an individual creature of God. You show me a person who is under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'll show you a person who has his mouth shut and has ceased to exalt himself in the light of God's precious Word. Friend, I wonder as you listen to this broadcast today if you can honestly say that you're saved. You know that you're a child of God. You've been born again. You've been converted through faith in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about going forward to an altar. There are millions of souls, I believe, down in hell today who got to an altar and never got to Jesus Christ. How about it, friend? Are you saved or are you lost? Are you on your way to heaven or are you on the broad road going down to the pit? Friend, why not get it settled today? Why not make sure that you're really a child of God by accepting God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior right now? Friend, place your trust in God's Son and the precious blood that He shed at Calvary's cross. And the Bible tells us that very moment that you do that with all your heart, you become a child of God. You are born again, this time into the family of God. Now, friends, I thank God today that we're living under the dispensation of His grace. And wonderful grace it is, too. God is continually showering down blessings from above. But man has again proven himself to be a stupendous failure. Look at that man reeling on his way to a drunkard's grave and his soul going down to a drunkard's hell. Look at the wretched harlots on the street corners of every American city today, putting in time with sordid sin and awaiting the great white throne judgment. And look at the vice, the immorality, the crime, the delinquency, the drug abuse, and the hatred that runs rampant in our world today. Can you tell me that man is not a failure today under grace? Listen, friend, man was a failure, is a failure, and will be a failure, and all because of F-I-N, sin. Yes, if we could see into the future, even after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, we would see the failure of man, for we read in the book of Revelation that when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations once again, gather them into battle, encompass the camp of the saints, and then be subjected to the fiery wrath of Almighty God. My friend, wouldn't it be better today to acknowledge before God that we are just as He says we are? We are nothing but sinners. Nothing but sinners. Now, that's not easy to take. We like to think that, well, I'm a sinner, but maybe not as bad as someone else. Friend, the Bible says we're all sinners. Whether you're a big sinner or little sinner, you're still a sinner. You know, I've sometimes said that sin is just like cheese. No matter how thin you slice it, it's still cheese. And so it is with sin. Yes, it's just the same with sin. And that's the reason, as we read in our text today, God says there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my friend, until you see yourself as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, you're not even a candidate for God's salvation. Now, I'm quite aware of the fact that the natural man fervently objects to the doctrine that there is no difference. In every phase of our daily lives, we are confronted with a universal system of classification and stratification. Some men are laborers, others are executives. Some are kings and some are peasants. Some are rich and some are poor. Some are in good health and some are in bad. Yes, man is classified in every way possible, but when it comes to his need of salvation, God declares, there is no difference. No, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can imagine that man Noah way back in the book of Genesis preaching of the coming judgment of God in the floodwaters and warning them faithfully to flee from the wrath to come. No doubt they thought that he had gone stark raving mad, but the rain did fall and the flood did come. And everyone not inside the ark of safety were victims of a watery grave. Yes, they all perished, and there was no difference. Over in Exodus chapter 12, when the destroying angel was about to pass through Egypt, no doubt the proud Egyptians laughed at the poor Israelite putting the lamb's blood on his doorpost and lintel. But when the angel of death passed through the land that night, all those who failed to heed the warning of God were visited by the angel, and the eldest son lay dead. Yes, there was universal sorrow in the land because there was no difference. Then I think of that man called Abraham, leaving the hills to come down into Sodom. He stands there in the city streets and perhaps he cried out, "Ye men of Sodom, I have a message for you from God." The people pause in their sin long enough to behold the old man with his white hair flowing in the breeze. "I have a message for you," he says. "Yes, I've got a warning. God is going to destroy the cities of the plain. And everyone who doesn't flee to yonder hills will perish." Ah, but the Sodomites paid him no heed. They told him to go back to his tent in the hills. And within a matter of hours, Sodom is in ashes. He had told them the truth, just as the angels had told them. He had warned them to flee, but they refused. And as a result, they perished. Yes, the princes, the judges, the merchants, the thief, the shepherd, and the drunkard. They all perished there in the cities of the plain because there was no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, my Bible tells me of the fiery wrath of God that is soon going to fall down upon those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, the wrath of God is going to come forth upon this godless world. And when God comes to deal in judgment, there will be no difference. And everyone who is out of Christ without a Savior will be doomed and damned to the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, I read that there is no difference because the small and the great must stand before God. And in Revelation 21 and verse 8, I read that there is no difference because the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that, my friend, is the word of God for which I make absolutely no apology. There is no difference. There is no difference. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, what's to become of me? Is there no hope for me whatsoever? Ah, yes, my friend. That's just where the gospel comes in. When a sinner surveys his standing before God, and he sees himself as vile and undone, he sees that there is no difference. He realizes that he is a sinner, and he's come short of the glory of God. He sees the judgment of God and the fiery flames of hell staring him in the face. He sees himself in the eternal burnings, weeping and wailing and grinding his teeth. But oh, thank God, there is a way of escape. The prophet Isaiah could say of a truth that Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And again he could say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord God hath laid upon his Son, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. My friend, it matters not how sinful you are today. The fact that you're a sinner makes you, my friend, spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. But likewise, it makes no difference. It makes no difference how long you've been dead, spiritually speaking. Christ can bring you to life just the same. Jesus Christ raised the son of the poor widow of Nain who had just died. He also brought back to life Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. So, my friend, with Jesus Christ, there is no difference. There is no difference. Small sinner or great sinner, old sinner or young sinner, rich, poor, Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, friend, I can give you the assurance of God's Word that Jesus Christ can bring you out of sin's nature and sin and nature's darkness. He can bring you into the light and righteousness which only He can provide. I think of what he tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Friend, would you like to be saved today? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to know your sins forgiven? Would you like to have the full assurance of God who cannot lie that if you were to die today or if the Lord should come today, you would spend eternity in heaven? Well, friend, you can have that assurance today. It's simply taking God at His Word. Believe God's Word when He says you're a sinner. Believe the Word of God that says you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Believe the Word of God that says that Jesus Christ, in love for your soul, died on the old rugged cross. Friend, if you believe that today with all of your heart, not just with your head, but with all of your heart, the Word of God, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved. You'll be born again, and you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already there. So, friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we bow in thy presence again at the close of another gospel message, to ask thy blessing upon thy word. May there be those out in radio land even now, placing their faith and trust in thy beloved Son. Save them before it's eternally too late, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Beyond the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.